I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 425. Our roundtable is actually rectangular. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
And welcome to a brand new episode of our podcast. A special one at that.
And not a clip show.
It's not a clip show because I woke up on time. We are actually at PAX for our annual roundtable.
Yay! Roundtable at the rectangle table.
We're doing a roundtable at the rectangle table because we don't give a damn about shapes.
Fuck shapes.
Fuck your shapes. Now, with that said, we are joined by some of our very close and adorable friends who were able to wake up and join us on time, unlike some people, myself included, who weren't able to get to the table on time. So, starting at the other end of the table.
What is up, everybody? This is King Baby Duck from the No Borders, No Race podcast show and last night's official opening act for Frank Turner in the Sleeping Souls.
Whoa, calm it down.
But he didn't get paid.
I mean... But still, you did open for Frank. So there's that.
Yes.
That is true.
There's that.
Yes.
This is Bobby Blackwolf from the Voice of Geeks Network and the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Not supposed to be here.
But we're glad you are.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Shut up, Dante Hicks.
Shut up, Dante.
And we got myself, John Matarakia from Blind Chief Studios and GameFlack.com.
Robert the DCD Workman, alcoholic, and writer supremist for a number of sites including Game Crate, The Geek Culture, and Retro Magazine.
And last but not least...
Hey everybody, it's Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio and Horde House, also VogNetwork.com.
Yay! Thank you everybody for joining us today in snowy, cold as hell Boston, but...
It's not really snowy, it's more like ice walls.
Yeah, it's like ice chunks.
I mean,
the snow never
point,
comes down, but you can just tell everything is frozen.
Yes. And there are still igloos, like, as you walk through the town, where there are overhangs of ice tunnels. It's enjoyable. It's kind of pretty at night.
And terrifying if you're worried something's going to crash down and end your life.
There is that.
And terrifying if drunk Marsha Morgan is trying to throw snowballs at you and ends up stabbing you in the balls or something.
She hit me right in the dick.
There's that.
How do you guys live here?
How do you live here? Like, I'm from California, right?
Denver, well, what you first need is a house.
This is a foreign country to me right now.
Look out
because the snow melts and then it freezes again. And you gotta watch out because you might like trip and fall on a puddle.
Well, this snow's been here since January.
What is this?
Yep. This is all old ass.
Is there actually snow falling from the sky right now?
I think we have flurries.
A little flake. That's nothing.
School's canceled.
See, to Boston, this is just like oxygen because you know the real snow is coming.
That's a freeway shutdown where I'm from.
Like, oh my god, shut everything. I wish.
Shut it down.
Well, let's talk about
all our cars on the road.
We're talking about the weather right now.
I know, but let's talk about things that are shutting things down. Like there have been some interesting things at PAX, but I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on comparing the show floor this year to last year.
Because
there's
were
been
here.
Like yeah, because there's been some grumbles from people of things that are different, and I'd like your opinions on positives and negatives, differences between the years.
Well, to be quite honest, I mean, it's still organized about the same. My problem is, like, the way they have lines set up, because they have a lot more stuff that's worth lining up for this year. You got Nintendo Splatoon, you got Blizzard's Overwatch, you got the whole Infinite Crisis Carnival Games thing, and it just seems like around every corner you go, there's a line that's stacked up. I mean, they're capping them off. They're not getting out of control or anything like that. But by the same token, like, they're making them so thick that you have to, like, you know, you have to shovel along like cattle, like moo. You know, I would try to say moo.
Moo?
turn.
That's never mind these booths right next door that purposely try to get these big crowds to do these big, you know, they're giving away something and get all the cheering so they can stream it
on
their
website. Ton of stuff.
Look how popular we are. And then, like, that creates another big claw because that'll be right next to the booth that's trying to show, you know, Overwatch or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's more indie this year because we're missing a lot of...
we don't have many big presences this year.
No, and you know what? I'm okay with that because I feel like the indie presence at PAX East is much better than the AAA presence at PAX East.
And we're starting to see some real superstars emerge from indie, too.
Exactly.
Like, for instance, Drinkbox Studios.
Yes.
They haven't made a game called Severed. Now, for the longest time, people were like, well, PlayStation Vita doesn't have anything new, original, blah, blah, blah. But if you play Severed, you'll be like, holy shit, I need a Vita. Because it's like a combination dungeon crawler, Infinity Blade mixed it with the art style of Guacamelee. It's beautiful, all right. Everything like that. You should
loved
check it out.
I loved Guacamelee.
Yeah. You should check it out. It is very cool. It's like one of my favorite games of the show right there with like Overwatch and Splatoon, but we'll get into that later.
Definitely. But I do agree with navigating the show floor. Why it feels more open, like more of the booths are designed as open spaces, which is really neat. I keep getting caught up in clogs and like enforcers are having people drop their backpacks when they're in lines to make it easier for people to move around.
I just think they did that because I was not taking off my backpack because I'm against the man, and I totally hit this kid square in the head, and I felt so bad because I swung too fast and caught him right in the side of the face. It was rough.
There go your glasses.
No,
you're just Foxy Cleopatra all of a sudden.
You better hope the next man you're not talking to is a lawyer.
I know, right? I did apologize, but I was like, ooh, bad call.
My bad. If you have any legal charges, my name is Rochelle.
Funny. So funny.
There was also, like, an issue that we were having because we were trying to find, like, a specific game that we knew was here. And there's so many different nook and crannies and little tiny, like you can miss stuff.
Plus, there are no booth numbers. That's right.
This is the first year that they haven't done that, where they haven't had the numbers on the
booth. No, they did it last year, too. Okay, there was no booth numbers last year.
4402. Where
the fuck is it? Right.
It's like if you use the guidebook, you have to tap on the places around you.
I did.
Even
like,
with the guidebook, I couldn't figure out where anything was.
Get a signal because once again, no signal.
I was like, you must not be on AT&T because I got no GPS here.
Yeah. None.
No.
Try to play Ingress. Shut down.
Basically, I was finding things like in relation to the Astro booth.
Yep. Let me find your pinnacle Astro point and then navigate from
now
there.
Let me see if I can find your booth from related to here.
Kudos to Astro.
Yeah. Like, they, in all honesty.
Let me start a Twitch, turn around, take 4 steps backwards, do a dance. Oh, there's the booth I'm looking for.
Let's see.
There's my cheat code for you guys.
So, and also, my perspective is one thing that, you know, I was saying we're not, you know, I shouldn't even be here. We're not media here. So, we don't have the luxury of having appointments. We have no appointments, nobody, so we're here just like everybody else. And there, the lines for a lot of the big stuff, like, there was something I wanted to see. I can't.
Splatoon, they cap off.
Well, you see, it was like for 90 minute line.
Well, I mean, day one, Friday, Overwatch was capped until in further notice at, like, 10:30 sharp. And they just opened
the
doors.
The only way I was able to get in is I did the media hour thing. And then on the flip side of that, even if you do have appointments, again, you run into the thing with the booth numbers, you have to wait for the crowds, you have to, like, wait, is there an entrance? I mean, no matter which way you go, it's
here's
kind of
my thing. Like, personally, for me, I cover a lot of VR stuff. I do a lot of stuff with Oculus and stuff. I haven't seen Crescent Bay yet, which is here.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who works at Oculus. He said, yeah, we can't help him either. They're not even letting friends of people who work at Oculus go in. Like, you have to stand in line. Oh, the line's already capped today for the entire day.
What is all this with appointments anyway? I thought PAX was the show where that it wasn't a thing.
Well, so no,
you still have appointments.
Well, they still have a media presence.
Yeah.
People still attend the show because our games are announced or something like that. Or, you know, like, if you didn't go to BlizzCon, here's your chance to get hands-on with Overwatch, that sort of thing. But still, by the same token, like I said, it's not that easy because, you know, it is a fan
show. That used to be a selling point for PAX is that there was no special treatment for anybody. It was just the same.
Really,
and that's changed.
Like,
a little bit.
I had some time with Vanguard this on Friday morning, and I had one of the first appointments, but they already had everyone on the display because it's an iPad iOS game, and I had to sit there for 20 minutes. And I mean, I'm the first media appointment they had in the day. I still had to wait. So while you get your treatment when it's your time, you still have to queue up in a sense.
Yeah. So it's basically kind of like fast pass into playing.
Let's be honest, you don't want to be that guy.
Be like, oh, excuse me, I'm that. Right, exactly.
No, I don't do that. Right. Yeah, I'm all like this. I'm like, right. Sorry, I'll be as quick as I can. I promise.
Right.
I don't want to be that guy. Well, I'm IGN. Because I'm not IGN.
Right.
So, yeah.
I repeat, I am not IGN.
But just, I mean, it's so, this, the PAX is so big, even though I know they even cap, you know, how many passes can get in. I feel like I play more at, like, E3.
Yeah, I agree.
When we go around and say, what games have you played? I think I played 3 games on the show, on the expo floor here at PAX the entire week.
I agree, because right now I'm at 5 that I've actually played.
I have number 7 later on today.
Look
personal
at you.
Best.
Personal best. Gold star for Panda.
Lucky 7.
I think I'm at 15.
Damn it, Evan.
Yeah, overachiever.
No, hang on.
No, I
have played like
I
5 or 6
about
card
40.
Games. 4 games. There was a little kiosk.
But I mean, in terms of the presence, I mean, the structure of how this convention is structured is relatively the same. I do feel that we don't have the numbers that we had last year, because there were times where, like, you were literally sardining your way through the floor just to go get a taco at the other end of the completely abandoned food area. I mean, I feel like the weather kind of impacted on that. The fact that GDC was the week before, so people were totally
just
burnt out.
And I came from there. So, they had them back-to-back this year, which I completely fucking despise.
Like, that was like media suicide right there, you know, having to jump, you know, coast to get here.
Well, and then you also have to add in the fact that you also have PAX South leading into
right. So like some people might have been burnt out on the whole PAX experience.
And I think there's a lot of people, like I know a couple people who bought extra passes in that frenzy where it's like we're not going to be able to get a pass, and then like couldn't sell them. So they just kind of had a wash of extra passes. So I don't think that's widespread, but you have a little bit of that.
I mean, the reason we are here is because, you know, we couldn't get in as media. We had a listener, like, I opened my big mouth, and a listener was like, I have some extra badges, I'll sell them to you for face value. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
We were about to cancel all our flights and hotels, but and he still has badges. I think he didn't even sell all the badges.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's insane.
That is.
Yeah, and I also think that there's also a little bit of, you know, now that we have saturation with Australia, South, Prime, East, plus you had GDC going on this
week. Sorry, PAX, I will never get to you.
You know, and then you have a couple of companies who are known for having big spaces and big things going on this year, not here. You know, Riot's not here. UB's not here. Bethesda's not here. You know, Activision's not here.
The only thing Bethesda did, they showed off the new Wolfenstein, but they did it on the Twitch thing.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake, because it's coming in May, and this is the type of event where you hype something spring-related like that. Mm-hmm.
But that's true. That Bethesda has something else in cooking, and that's why they decided to do a media brief.
To be fair, Riot has the hospitality lounge, mm-hmm. and they do have the codes they're giving away in the swag bag, so they didn't, like, necessarily turn their back. It's just,
oh my god, so many
where
Twitter
cards
people
against
want
humanity this year.
So many Twitter people who want you.
I think they're selling like buttons, but there's no new cards.
Yeah, no new cards, just the condoms.
And the company that printed their cards is here and has a booth where they're signing various things.
And that's it. New cards.
But that's it.
I know last year was the oatmeal thing and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Now I will say this though. Harmonix has come out in spades. Yeah. They have Amplitude on the floor. They have this really great music VR thing. Yeah. They have the party. And, of course, they stole the show with a game that's not even at the show with the announcement of Rock Band 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed with what they've done this year. They had a great party. And, you know, the only thing I feel bad about is that Nick Chester couldn't be. I mean, he has other things.
He had some life-changing events.
So congrats to Nick Chester and his new family. Obviously, new family. Why am I speaking so?
His new addition.
Congratulations, Nick Chester, and congratulations, Harmonix. Rock Band 4 is great news, and now sets the stage for Activision to get out their butts and get Guitar Hero back.
No, yeah. I want DJ Hero.
So the three of us want another DJ Hero because I still have my rig in my living room.
I'm the Eminem Dr. Dre.
Yep, I whip it out every so often. Yeah. But I like fell out of my seat with Rock Band 4, and I immediately hit up everybody I knew at Harmonix. I was like, just please tell me that my Ion drums will work with the new Rock Band. That's all I want. Mm-hmm. I'll buy new guitars.
I bought the stage kit to work.
I bought the special guitar that they have. They have a Penny Arcade guitar. You can still pre-order.
Yep.
They're actually taking all the pre-orders they can. So, yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be very interesting with the music game revival, too, because something's going on with Konami. And now it seems like they might be getting, because they cease and desisted a pirate network that was allowing the foreign games to run over here. DDR and B82DX. It seems like they might be stepping up again. So this could be
I would love to see them bring back Dance Dance Revolution.
I, I'm kind of, you know, it's weird because I feel like I wouldn't even be doing this if it wasn't for DDR, because that's how I met all these people. But at the same time, technology's changed since then. But I'd love to see a new music game from Konami. Mm.
That would be great. Well, unfortunately,
I do have to take off. Unfortunately, work calls for me. But okay, sure. You guys can follow me at Twitter. Well, not you guys at the table. You listeners can follow me, because I do think everybody's
fine. I won't follow.
Everybody's tired of me anyway. Twitter.com/theDCD. I'm on Facebook. I also do Twitch stuff on the DCD, same channel and all that stuff. And of course, I'll be stopping by the podcast when I have more time. I do promise, because I do love me some Electric Sisterhood.
Oh,
and Evan's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today.
He's the man.
Travel well, play games,
all that good stuff.
Later.
I am with you because, you know, I think that the music game genre is one of the things that we've really been missing in the next gen. You know, shooters have been well represented. Action titles are being well represented, you know, but the music, a good solid in your home music thing, really has been missing. So I would love for Konami to step up. I would love to kind of be back in the whole battle with Activision, which I don't think they're going to do. But
no,
I would love to have Activision head-to-head with something out of Harmonix and something out of Konami.
I'm only a little worried about it all hitting at once, because that's kind of how we got in here in the first place.
Yeah.
So I hope if Konami does throw their hat in the ring, it's something kind of new. That's why, and this can be, like, people that know me and know my history are probably going to be surprised. What? Rob doesn't think they should do a new DDR? I kind of just think they should try something maybe a little new, and, you know.
Rock Revolution.
No.
Funny.
There is a Beat Media here at PAX, though.
There is. There is a 5-key machine in the classic room. That was a good time. Good times.
Well, there is this new game that's coming out pretty soon. Well, they are doing a Kickstarter for it. It's called Loud on Planet X, and it's sort of Plants vs. Zombies meets Guitar Hero. And what, like, got my attention was the fact that there are all these different indie rock bands that are going to be contributing tracks to it, one of which is one of my all-time favorite hardcore punk bands, Fucked Up, who are not only contributing two tracks, but an original score for this video game. And I played the demo for it, and I was very impressed. I mean, yes, it is very much like Plants vs. Zombies, but the whole music element to it is very unique.
Well, yeah, indies have been kind of keeping the music thing going for a while. You know, we had, like, Crypt of the Necro Dancer, you know, in the last year, and then even here at the show this year, Thumper is out there,
yeah,
which is pretty awesome.
I mean, Harmonix was playing around with Chroma, which was a music-based shooter.
I know Kyle Ward's at the New Egg booth showing Re-Rave Plus, which is a pretty good little tablet music game, so, you know.
I still feel like the all-time, to me, like, the kind of bridge that gap from Innovative was Rocksmith.
Rocksmith, yeah.
Which kind of bridged,
like, don't just imagine being a rock star, actually learn how to be a rock star for real.
Yeah.
And I love that you be committed to it. You know, they have constantly put out new tracks for Rocksmith and advance the game and not ever let it get stale. Where I kind of feel like at this point, just dance is as stale as it can possibly get. But Rocksmith, I do think, has really been a very good bridge game. I haven't jumped into it because my finger control is really
bad. I own Rocksmith for bass.
Yeah, not to mention they keep adding new instruments to it. You can do bass, you can do mandolin. I heard you can do banjo, and there's other instruments you can use as well. I'm waiting for the Shamisen version.
Yeah.
Triangle Hero. Ding!
I'd be totally down. If Rock Band's going to turn their back on keyboards, then I want a Keysmith.
No, that's a good one, because I like how you can learn how to play piano with that one.
I have my keytar. It's still in my living room. And it was really interesting. We were at Major Nelson's podcast recording last night, and Eric Pope was speaking, and a big chunk of peripherals are going to work. I did get the thumbs up on my Ion drums, jumped up, and Jeff Rubenstein was like, sit back down!
It was hilarious, because some other man went up and asked a question at the end about it, and as soon as they said Ion, Ninja was just like, yes!
I only hand that rose, so we know who's got
Ion drum kits and who doesn't.
But I'm looking forward to the revival of music games, because that's the thing that I look over in the corner of my living room, and I feel so sad, because my Xbox 360 was retired when the One came in, so I just have all my peripherals looking at me, gathering dust like, play me. I say no.
But now you'll get to say yes.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. So, with that said, stuff that you've seen at the show floor, loves, hates, interesting, things that you would recommend?
Honestly, I think this year, because, I mean, usually day one is, for me, my first stop is to get my scarf. Like, I have to sit in that line, I need to get my scarf, because I have, like, them on my wall, they're like a motif. And this year, they decided to expand on that some more, and not just make it an exclusive PAX one. Certain booths have their own variation on the scarf, so now everyone can feel a little bit more special than...
It's
everyone.
Only taken 3 years for people to realize.
Hey, third time's the charm.
Scarves are the thing. People like them.
Yeah. So, I mean, and especially because, you know, it's kind of still kind of reminiscent of Snowmageddon here. Like, bundling up is definitely a priority. And
multi-purpose.
Like, I mean, and I bought 3 scarves, and I can't wear them all at the same time. Like, I'm going scarf crazy. Well, because then you wouldn't see my beautiful face. You would just see all my beautiful scarves.
Have I mentioned how humble my sister is?
I am very modest.
Well, you got one for your tata, so you can have one out here.
So, I mean, I like that they're expanding on making things not feel so, oh, you have to do this. Like, there's stuff for everybody. So I like that pull. Game-wise, I have spent a lot of time with indies, because, like I said, indies are a stronger presence here. And I spent some time over with the Frontier Development guys to check out Elite Dangerous. And I tried that with the Oculus Rift and nearly threw up. It was that intense, because apparently I cannot do VR, so I will never be an astronaut, and I'll never... No, I do not have the wrist movement, but
so
I mean,
you're not going to Mars?
Nope.
All right.
I'm 45 seconds from Wildland.
Okay.
So go. You guys have fun in space. I will stay here on Earth, where I will not throw up. But the game looks absolutely amazing. I wish I could have taken out the drone ship, because the playable demo is a dogfight, which for me was just me trying to keep myself stable. I couldn't even. It was horrible. But they were wonderful over there. I mean, a space game that is 1-to-1 ratio, like, you definitely feel like you're out in space. And the thing that probably interested me the most about my experience with it is that the game state is persistent. So anybody who's playing, because it's going to be a multiplayer experience, everybody can possibly change what happens in your personal narrative. So you're not really in control of everything that can and will happen to you. So I'm like, fuck, I love being in control of my destiny. I don't like this idea of someone fucking up my Christmas. But apparently this will be something that will happen in this game, and I'm curious to see how that will go. They did make the announcement that it will come to Xbox One, so maybe I'll have a better chance being an astronaut on console and not PC.
Yeah, I'm going to point out that there's a lot, because Elite Dangerous was backed on Kickstarter, and initially there was supposed to be that offline single player component, and they got rid of it, and a lot of the backers were very upset, because they were the same way as you, and the elite guys just decided, yeah, you know, the thing we want to deliver, we can't deliver as a single player offline experience. It's always online, connected multiplayer. And that's actually rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
So, I mean, I definitely had a great time experiencing what they were doing over there. And, I mean, overall, I mean, I love the presence of the indies. I mean, they want to talk to you about their game. They want you to touch the game for hours. Like, and I love being that important to somebody, or everybody. And, I mean, who doesn't like that attention? I know.
Hashtag humblebrag.
Hashtag I know I'm awesome. Actually, and after this I'll stop talking so our friends can talk, I was walking here to set up the table, and 3 enforcers had, like, big whiteboards, and, like, we just want to tell you something. I'm like, what? And they wrote it out. I'm awesome. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm awesome. But you're awesome too, because we're all here. And then I, like, strolled off like a badass.
With the explosion in the background.
Exactly. Michael Bay's like, wait, we're queuing the explosion right now.
John was like, throw the doves.
By explosion, you mean snow explosion, right?
Yes, that's what happened.
So I saw some doves flying around the actual wall.
Okay. We're still trying to get the rest of the doves out of the walls.
I think they're going to be here.
One got stuck.
They're going to be here for a bit.
That's going to be my Rock Band name in Rock Band 4, Snow Explosion.
It's snow explosion.
Yeah, no, our band is Hot Kunst.
Hot Kunst, yes. Yes, that is coming.
Can I name mine the Tauntauns?
You can.
Yes, you can.
Absolutely.
All dressed as Tauntauns as we say.
Just all dressed up. So what about you guys? What have you seen, loved, touched, touched and not liked?
Obviously a lot of indies. I think one of my favorites so far was Dead Years, which is...
I haven't seen that one.
No, me neither.
It's inspired by Fallout.
Okay.
I was a huge Fallout fan. And in Fallout, you could actually have a companion, I believe, which was a dog at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And in this game, you actually can play as a dog as well.
Okay.
So you can switch between both characters and play as both.
Are they going to kill your dog? Because there's this weird motif where they like they get attached to something and then they take it away.
Do not kill my dog.
I'm assuming if you can play as a dog.
Don't say that because
I mean you could theoretically die as a dog.
You could.
I mean if you're playing a Game of Thrones game, there's a good chance the player
dies. Wow.
It's gonna be brutally murdered.
Everyone dies in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And if you don't, you win.
But no, they didn't really show too much about the game as it's still in development. But from what I saw, it was really really impressive. So.
Cool. Rob.
I checked out the new Amplitude this morning. That was a good time.
Short line.
Yeah, actually, they're probably line managing better than anyone. So walked right in and played the new Amplitude, and it's a lot of fun. Got to check out the new multiplayer mode, I guess the old Amplitude had a multiplayer, but this one's different because, you know, on a PlayStation 4, you can have four people all hooked up on the console at once. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty neat that you'll all kind of be on the same plane and you can kind of lock each other out, which kind of adds to the strategy. If one person kind of jumps ahead, then the other person can't capture that same line because they've played Amplitude before, or even Rock Band Blitz, which is really similar. So that was really my strategy I used to beat Bobby, is I just kind of kept jumping in front of him. So,
thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you.
He's over here shaking his fists in the air.
Damn you!
So I didn't get a chance to play all that much because, like, even the indies, there would be like a line of like two or three people. I mean, it wasn't a huge line, but so I was more interested in like walking around trying to see everything. One game that I really want to check out a little bit more, I watch other people play it. It's an Oculus Rift party game, and it's called Keep Talking and Nobody Dies.
Yes! I've heard about that game.
So what this game is you have one person in the Oculus Rift, and they can see a bomb. And the bomb has a timer, and it's got all these different compartments. And then everybody else who's playing has a printed out binder of instructions on how to defuse the bomb. So if they can't see the bomb, and the person wearing the Oculus Rift can't see the instructions, so the person who's seeing the bomb has to describe what he's seeing to the people who are flipping through the instructions, trying to tell them how to defuse the bomb so nobody dies.
So that means everyone can outlive, like they can live out like an episode of Archer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And that brings to mind the game that I really enjoyed that I played over at. In the indie booth section, Affordable Space Adventure. What it is one person is the one piloting the ship, and the other person's holding the Wii U gamepad, and they're, like, playing with the controls, trying to make sure nothing overheats and nothing explodes. And what makes it so cool is you gotta talk with your player back and forth. You can't be playing this game in silence. You actually have to tell people what you gotta do in order to make sure that you survive the adventure.
Kind of like Artemis.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or if you want to bring it down even to a base, that space team.
Yes. You know what? That was one
freaking
of the games
space
that kind of reminded
awesome.
Me of.
If you've never played Space Team, do it. You're all screaming at each other like, adjust space nipple to level 3. Adjust to level 3. Shake your iPads.
It's not as intense as Space Team, but it is very challenging.
I get gray hairs when I play Space Team, but it's worth it.
See, I like that kind of teamwork, and I think that that's one thing that I've noticed more and more. Just through various games that I've walked by or sat down with, is that co-op and putting new angles on co-op seems to be a running theme with a lot of games this year, whether that's in tabletop or whether it's in games. Like, that's the third time I've heard somebody talk about the bomb game, and I'm like, that's like a really intense, like,
they're
fun
taking
time.
Co-op to that next level. It's like, no, don't just help me on this map. No, tell me what this bomb looks like.
Well, I mean, that to me, that's like real multiplayer, as opposed to just online play where it's like, hey, we've been match made, and yes, we complete a mission, but we're done. But like actual teamwork where there's real communication that's going on, and you know, saving a life or blowing everybody up, that sounds like a lot of fun to me. I think probably right now the thing that stuck out most with me, besides Amplitude, which I was on the Amplitude horse a long time ago. I still have my original frequency and Amplitude discs for PlayStation.
I have your Amplitude discs.
Yes, you have my Amplitude discs.
I have it.
Because I believe in sharing and caring,
yep,
and that kind of thing.
That game was the best.
But I did kickstart Amplitude,
yep,
when it first came out,
yep,
because
you didn't.
No, I didn't. But I'll buy it.
Shun the non-believer.
I'll buy it when it's released.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, then.
Now that I got to play it, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. And I think multiplayer is great. But I think the game that has stuck out for me the most through the entirety of the show is a game from Compulsion Games, We Happy Few. So I actually saw this on my first day, and for all the other things that I've seen and I've played with, it's the one that still kind of sticks with me. It's in early, early alpha, so if you have a chance to go by, I really encourage you to do it. But basically what they've done is they've created a survival game that isn't a survival zombie game, but kind of is. So you are, it's set in a kind of alternative 60s London set, and the style is... of design is very much like their first game, Contrast. So if you played that, Compulsion is added again. But what's really great about the game is basically the entire town of Wellington Wells is drugged up on joy. So they all have painted faces and they're forced to look happy. And you as a player can't act in any way that makes them suspicious that you're not taking joy. And so you have to survive getting around navigating the town, getting food, without raising suspicion, because once you do, the entirety of the town that is around you immediately flocks to destroy you because you're a downer and you basically could destroy their joy. What is really interesting is that in most games where you would go into a house to escape and the AI would stay outside, they don't. They all follow you into the house on every floor.
They bludgeon you on the bathroom when you're taking a dump.
They do. You don't even get to do the dump. They follow you. And every house that you go into is booby-trapped. Some of the booby-traps set off alarms to have other people trigger to come into the home. So you have to be very careful about that. Anytime that you die, the world reinvents itself. So there's no set pattern. Houses have booby traps laid out in complete new ways. Some of them even shift. So you can't even get into a point where you're just memorizing the pattern of, oh, when I die, okay, next time what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the door. I know there's a trap there, so I'm going to step back. It's not going to be there. Or it may be a completely different trap. So it's really about learning the world and what things to avoid. But even doing things like getting food and weapons, you have to be very careful about, because all of the food in the game contains the drug joy in different amounts. So even replenishing your health can be damaging to you, because if you OD on joy, butterflies and trippy things happen in the scene, and then you lose a day and die. So it's really, really an amazing strategy puzzle game that's kind of disguised as like a rogue... platformer, and I really like it, so definitely check that out. That's the one that's kind of sticking for me right now outside of Amplitude, because obviously Amplitude and Rock Band, even though it's not here.
Right.
Because
right.
Rock Band.
Right.
For life.
Understood.
Tattooed right here. Next year. Just
and anyone else?
Who here has tried out Game 4 over at the Behemoth booth?
Well, I touched a little bit of it. After we had the breakfast on first day, but I did not stick around too long after that because I had an appointment.
It is a lot of fun. It's their trademark, really batshit banana pants crazy sort of humor in the game. What's his name? Matt Stamper is back as the narrator of sorts. And it's turn-based, it is a turn-based strategy game. But what I loved about this whole setup is there's this whole control panel thing that they have at this... demonstration. So every time that you set up your maneuvers and you pull, like, to make everything happen, it just makes you feel like you're about to do something very powerful. But yet, at the same time, you're about to do something powerfully silly.
Right.
And I was chatting with Megan, who was one of the people over at Behemoth, and I was asking, hey, is there any chance you're going to be, like, selling this whole setup here? Because you would make quite the bank if you did that for this game.
And what did she say about
that? She said, not at the moment, but we may
consider
it.
Depending on the type of flow that they get towards the game. But, I mean, Behemoth has always made ridiculously fun palette. They're more of a palette cleanser for me. Like, after I've been sitting in a AAA title that, like, I'm ready to bash my brains out.
Dragon Age!
And I didn't even get any. In my first game, that was 100-plus hours. No one put out for me.
Not my fault, bro.
I saved the world. I should get so much vagina pussy.
I told you to go after the bull. You didn't listen to me.
It's like I saved everyone. They should just be lining up at my Inquisition castle.
Is it a Mass Effect 3 thing all over again?
I messed up with Garrus. That was my bad. I said the wrong thing at the worst time to say something to Garrus. I will own that. But in Dragon Age, if you're saving people, give it to me. Give it up.
You can always go back from an old save file and recalibrate that relationship.
But anyway.
Words of wisdom.
But like I said, after I've been grueling through a game that one, I'm going to complete it. There is no doubt in my mind. But I will just jump out, recalibrate my feelings and my thoughts in a palate cleanser game. And Behemoth has always been that. Castle Crashers is usually a go-to for me because then I can just watch my little cute fruit bat just help me with my healing and I can go save some princesses. And the Clown Princess is probably my favorite. She's freaky. I'm down with that.
Like, I know.
She's my favorite princess. Mm-hmm. It's done.
They're not putting out either.
the Clown Princess does.
Oh, okay.
But I've always loved what they do. I mean, their style is very light, and like you can't get mad at a Behemoth game. Like, there's no physical way that your body will ever reject Behemoth.
No, not at all.
I mean, unless you get stomped on by a Behemoth animal. Maybe. But
which happens to the son of the character that you're playing in the first part of the level.
Go figure. So clearly, contradiction. But
yeah.
But I've always loved their style, and they've always managed to pull me in, even when it wasn't a main focus for me. So like they've got their niche. They know how to pitch their game. They know how to get you interested in it. So I'm like, they're all set. Yeah. All they had to say was new game, and hordes of people will show up.
Now, right. The thing that's interesting to me is that even though Riot doesn't have a big booth on the floor...
Fucking League.
League is still here.
You don't fucking
Why?
Play League.
I don't fucking
I feel
play
like
League.
League is on the same Why? Level as Eve now.
I know, you don't fucking play League.
You don't fucking
but,
play League.
But, inside jokes for the win. But, I feel like there's a lot of other MOBAs on the floor and people that want to take that space... More so than I've seen in years before.
I mean, look at the booth for Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
I mean, Infinite Crisis is huge. Vainglory's here. Heroes of the Storm's here. Like,
my hometown people, Smite, they're here.
They're here.
They're huge. Represent.
Well, because they're going on Xbox One.
Yeah, exactly. Xbox One is what they're pushing.
Making the jump.
Mm-hmm. You know, Microsoft has a bigger space here. They brought Ori. You know, than last year, which if you haven't had a chance to spend any time with
Ori, I'm seeing them later.
Please do. Ori and the Blind Forest is an absolutely gorgeous game, and I believe it gets released this week on Xbox One.
I think next during this week, actually.
Yeah.
And the show gets there.
They also have a game that I'm not big on zombie games. I've said
fucking State of Decay. State of Decay.
But that's just the same game as the Xbox 360 version.
Actually, that title could work both ways. Decay of State.
Yeah,
Decay.
The nice thing about State of Decay, though, is this version is completely upgraded, and they've put and packaged all the DLC from the 360 version together, so you can get all of it. And for anybody that's played the game before, you'll actually get a discount on purchasing this one.
Yep, 33% discount, and you'll also get a brand new playable character, too.
So yeah. The price decayed.
So the price decayed.
It decayed. The state of decay of the price
happened.
Goes down. Yes.
But it is running full 1080p, and that's kind of really interesting to take a look at. So while I'm not a zombie game player,
I am.
I might actually pick up State of Decay.
Me. And they give it to me.
Which is surprising. That's like the mark of success, is if you can get me to actually shell out for a zombie game, you're doing something right.
It's going to be a great game. It was a good game initially. And now they've just made it better.
Yeah.
So, duh.
Which makes me happy. I didn't touch Halo, though, because fuck Halo. Anyway.
Now.
Wait. Why are we effing Halo? Why are we shitting on Halo?
Because I always shit on Halo. I've shitted on Halo since Halo 2.
Woo!
I'm committed.
But wait, you do realize that...
It's the best possible Halo game,
I know, but I never finished it.
No.
The reason why I shit on Halo, though, is not because of Halo itself, is because of the multiplayer experience that I had.
But you do realize that...
One too many
teabags.
That
Destiny is kind of Halo with a different skin on it, right?
I know, and I don't shit on Destiny because I have a good time. I don't get teabagged in Destiny, so Destiny wins.
I teabag people in Destiny all the time.
Y'all can't see, but she's actually teabagging in her chair right now.
This is why we don't do video.
Oh, my God. We'd be so much more famous if we did.
No, you'd be so much more famous.
I want to say that before we go off on the Halo thing. You know, he said Halo 2 was the best. I disagree. The best Halo was Halo 2600 for the Atari 2600. That is literally the best Halo. It was written by Ed Freese.
Well played.
Well played.
I don't have a hat, but I would tip it if I did. Slow clap.
Now, if you want to talk about disappointments at PAX East,
as the listeners
can't see this, but everyone here, they see that I have the number one headband around my hat. They're showing off the new Afro Samurai video game over at the Versus Evil booth. Yeah. And now, first and foremost, this atmosphere looks really cool because it's got the RZA's doing the soundtrack against Samuel L. Jackson's in it. But then they toss you into the game, and all it is kill the same group of samurais over and over and over again. And it just got boring fast.
So that you don't slap cocaine out of orphans?
No, that's...
I know, Black Dynamite, I know. I was making a bad cross joke.
But yeah, I was very disappointed by that. But on the plus side, on the other side of that booth was Arma Krog. And I am so happy with how far along that they've come with Arma Krog.
Yeah, I don't really know much about Arma Krog. I, in all honesty, like, this was my show to really spend more time with indies and playing more games and getting around the show floor more than I usually did, so I kept my appointments light so that I could do that. And I had a really good time playing Orcs Must Die Unchained, which mm-hmm. is typically not a game that I would play at all, just because RTSs, for the most part, which is what Unchained is, really don't interest me, but I like the structure of how they set it up. I never played 2. I never played 1. But I may actually play Unchained just because I like the team aspect of setting up minions and picking them correctly in order to basically take out the enemy boss. It's massive capture the flag, and it's hugely, hugely enjoyable.
And I'm glad that you finally got a chance to play, because I played it last year at PAX East, and I liked Orcs Must Die, but I never really maybe want to go out and buy it. But the whole team aspect of the game just really, really drew me into it. And as someone that really isn't into multiplayer games, it says a lot that it makes me really want to play it. Now, I initially was a little bit disappointed when it was first announced as just PC only, but now that it's coming out for PS4, I'm going to be spending so much time with that baby.
Yeah, I will definitely pick it up on PS4. The demo stations that are on the show floor are PC, and while they have lovely, lovely, gorgeous setups with very, very sensitive mice, I absolutely suck at PC play, so my team lost.
Was it your fault?
No.
Probably.
Was it your fault?
No.
I feel like you're lying.
Shut up. It wasn't my fault. I'm just saying, I wasn't the only person on the team, okay? Sure, I died 3 times, but whatever.
You're bringing the average down.
Shh.
Get your shit together.
It's Stop. Not her fault. She's so drop-dead gorgeous, as in she keeps dropping dead.
I'm going to use that line.
Actually, you should.
I really should. But it was really fun to play, and the cooperative piece of it was, I think, probably the thing I enjoyed the most. So I will more than likely play the game when it comes out on PlayStation 4. I think for me, the only thing that was kind of disappointing, and it's going to be for a reason that isn't for anybody else, was Overwatch. And the reason that Overwatch was disappointing was because I can't get to it. I physically can't get to it, too.
Some people think it's overrated, but I mean, you know, it's Blizzard, so.
Right.
It reminds me of Team Fortress.
And that's what they're going for.
Yeah,
I did get to play it at BlizzCon, and I can't imagine the build that they have here is much different, except maybe it has those 2 new characters they announced here. And so it is very similar to Team Fortress, but it has that Blizzard touch. Remember, Blizzard is so good at making people drink their Kool-Aid, and having drank their Kool-Aid in the past, you know, and still with Diablo. But
yay, Diablo in World of Warcraft?
I actually finally got off the WoW bandwagon, but, you know, they are so good at making people, like, I would never play this game, but since Blizzard's doing it, I know it's going to be super accessible and it's something I can do. They did it with Heroes of the Storm mm-hmm. and MOBAs, and now they're going to do it. People that are like, I don't play first-person shooters, those are still, I'm going to go stand in line and play Overwatch because it's Blizzard. And they do a very good job of making it accessible, and the character designs are really well done. And I
quite
think
fresh, yeah.
They definitely have room to maybe expand, you know, those characters into marketing.
It's not rock and roll racing, so I don't care.
But you know, you get the game, you might get a new card deck for your
Hearthstone, a Hearthstone.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Some of those characters in Overwatch, especially the mascots, like the I can't remember their names, but the girl who kind of looks like she's one of the Incredibles, kind of mixed with a flight, Amelia Earhart kind of thing. She'll show up in Heroes of the Storm for sure. The Hanzo guy, the Reaper guy will show up, I'm sure. They'll all come over in Heroes of the Storm eventually.
It'll be a brilliant marketing move for them.
Oh, yeah.
And Blizzard markets well.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's a bad game at all. Just, you know, Blizzard fans, back down. Put your pitchforks and torches away, because it actually is a lot of fun. I will say that.
Yeah, it looks
But it is
great.
All about what character you pick. Because the first time I played it, I picked a character who I liked because I thought she was sexy. Like, I played Symmetra. She's got that, you know, she's got that dress. Showing a little leg. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, all right, I'm going to play the sexy girl. So I played her, and I didn't really have fun with her. But then I played Medica, which was more like a healer type, which one I would play.
So the name
Fortress.
Like Medica?
Yeah, right. It's not just a clever name. But I was sold when there was an ability where you could, like, target somebody on the other end of the battleground as long as you could get them in your sight. You press a button, fly right to them, so you can be right there to heal them. And I thought that was just a lot of fun because you can kind of fly around the map.
Mm-hmm. No, that is cool.
That's an ideal set for a
I really
want to
play it.
Class.
It's just been really disappointing because I have not been able to get in a line that wasn't capped to get to it.
It's a Blizzard game, so it'll be out for you to play in about 3 years.
Yeah. Yay! Just enough time for me to remember it.
I will say, if anything is, and this is like a minute disappointment for me, I'll get loud now.
Yeah.
Loud voice. Loud, no, I'm just kidding. Sorry.
I've never heard you get loud before.
You clearly don't listen to our show enough.
That was a joke.
Because I get loud all the time. No,
sarcasm.
No, but I am a big, you know, I'm a gamer. I read comic books. I'm an anime fan. And I always like to see really innovative costumes. And while I've seen a fair share of costumes here this year, I also feel like a lot of people played it quite safe. Like, I haven't seen anything that really blew my mind.
Is that quite safe or quite layered?
Because, well, I mean, it is cold. I know it is cold here.
And we told people to bundle up last week.
I mean, I think, like, there's only one costume that sticks out of my mind that I was like, wow. But it still wasn't like, oh, my God. Like, I mean, like, that guy who came with the full bumblebee suit, like, I think last year.
Mm-hmm. Last year, yeah.
Like, there wasn't an it cosplay fact, you know. And I haven't seen droves of them because I think people were like, you know, if I'm going to go to this event, maybe I should save some money and not finish that costume I was aiming to. Wow. So I'm like, I'm a little disappointed that we don't have that much. And I've also seen that of all the cosplay we do have, and this is more of a positive, is that people are cosplaying characters from games, and we're not having that cross-pollination of too much anime versus too much comic books, and not having that Zen diagram of, like, happy medium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm a little mixed bag of feelings about it.
I bet you'll see a little more next year, though, assuming you guys are back here next year.
Of course we are. We're here.
I know, right?
I practically live in the BCEC as a homeless person.
So with it, you know, being bumped to April next year, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of by now, with it being bumped to April so that they don't have all the snow issue, I'm sure it'll be a lot, like, people will be willing to show a little leg next year, you know, with whatever cosplay it might be.
Oh, no, there was still leg.
Oh, yeah, I saw lots of leg.
I saw lots of leg in Cleve.
I mean, and in that little happy medium area of mixing both, I saw a couple of very burly men.
Are you talking about the Disney princesses?
The man princesses.
Yes, the man princesses. Much respect for the man princesses, by the way, which if you haven't seen them, there are four dudes who are definitely very stocky, but very happy.
Very happy men.
And adorable, dressed as various Disney princesses. There's a Cinderella, there's a Jasmine.
There's an Ariel.
There's an Ariel, and I believe...
Ariel or Burial?
Oh, it was Burial.
Yeah.
Full on, like, man beard. So, yeah, Burial. But they're absolutely adorable running around. And yesterday we bumped into them on the floor, and they were taking pictures with little girls dressed as princesses, and my heart melted.
Oh, that's adorable.
Because it was so cute.
That's adorable.
We encountered them going to the Westin to drop off some bags, and I had to give Cinderella some serious credit because, like, he's hoofing it and he's holding his glass slippers. I'm like, I know that feel, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
shoes off time.
I know what that means. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, I appreciate that, you know, people are stepping outside of the normal conventions of what the general populace thinks is acceptable cosplay.
Because,
mm-hmm. I mean, I've always jumped back and forth on, you know, I have always been a proprietor of, if dress to suit your shape and your size. And I've now kind of thrown that out of the window, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe next year I'll be Slave Leia.
Yeah. So
with
Panda
a gorgeous tan,
became more mature. I was like, no,
I grew
actually,
up.
Do your damn thing.
Which
Panda
earned the power of self-respect.
Actually, I've seen a lot of like not just like crossplay, but I'm like seeing like the same thing where it's like people are just dressing as whatever they want.
Yeah.
You know, and I, honestly, again, I hate to keep being the Californian who's picking on your weather, but I think, again, if the weather had cooperated a little more, you'd probably see more of it.
Yeah.
Probably.
I
agree.
But what's really nice is that of all the cosplay that I've seen, it's all really good.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's been really creative. I've seen some of the crossover stuff. There are, like, quite a few people who are cosplaying from, like, Sword Art Online, which is a game plus anime thing.
Yep, that happy medium and that Zen diagram, like I said.
I've seen some Dot Hack crossplay, which I was like, people still watch Dot Hack? Like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
But there's...
I love it when people keep it obscure, though, because it's all the more awesome when it's like, oh, you're da-da-da-da-da, and then, like, yeah, you know,
and it's just like, I think I know that character, but who are you? Like, there's been a big chunk of that, and I've really enjoyed that. And then, you know, obviously, like, some really well-known things, but with a little twist. And I like the creativity. So hopefully next year, with us being further in April, there'll be more of it. Because I really enjoy the cosplay. That's, like, one of my favorite things to do on the last day is just to kind of mosey around and what characters do I recognize and, you know, whose costume would I love to, like, mimic myself, you know.
The funniest one that I saw, which is an older meme out there, and it's, you know, but it was a guy, he was Luigi, but he was actually sitting in a car, and he was going around the car, and if you said his name, he did the death stare at you.
Nice.
So, like, I know that's an older meme a little bit, but just, you know,
but it's still good, though.
He was sitting in the car.
Props to him being able to maneuver with all these people here.
Yeah, so that's
why he gets special props.
Oh, wow.
That was this adorable Sonic right through there. You gotta love when the kids,
you know,
when the kids dress up.
You
know,
we're talking cosplay, now they're walking by us.
Yeah,
I know. Right? It's a fashion show.
Exactly. You speak and people appear. Surprise, surprise.
You know, I'm beginning to think I have the special ability that I can just summon people whenever I want them.
She's an X-Men!
Did it to me.
Could you say winning lottery ticket?
I tried the $1 million thing. It didn't work.
I have a great power, but I have a lot of responsibility. Short spouts. And only people, apparently. I tried Obama. Didn't happen. He must be busy.
Beautiful, big, naked, big-titted women just don't fall from the sky, you know!
Yep. We don't. All right, so anyway. I think... Yeah, I just did that. Again, another reason why we don't do video. But I think, for me, like, overall, it's really been a fantastic show. It's been easier to get around. I've definitely spent much more time looking at games and talking with people about their games than I have in previous years. It's felt more relaxed. But there also, in all honesty, hasn't been a shit ton of panels that I've wanted to go to. And that's really, like, the only disappointing thing that I have about the show.
So, you didn't want to go to, it's still okay to be a woman in the industry panel?
The one that's right there, that says 1 p.m.,
yeah,
why it's still awesome.
It's still awesome to be a female.
So I may go to that panel for a couple of reasons. One, we have a friend who's actually a panelist on that panel.
Okay.
Diana Laura is on that panel. And I do think that it's important to talk about the positivity around being a female in the industry, because there's been a lot of negativity around. And so props for trying to remind people that for all the stupid, dumb things that exist, the positives really, really do outweigh it. So that's a good one. But, like, usually most years I'm like, man, oh, man, I have this appointment and that appointment. And I'm not going to be able to make it to this panel that I really want to go to or that panel that I really want to go to. And there really hasn't been a lot of panels that I've wanted to go to this year. You know,
we did the one. And it was the Final Fantasy 14 panel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was people.
I might have a 14 problem. I'm just saying. I might have a small.
So you jumped from WoW 14 to Final Fantasy.
Don't you judge me?
Don't you judge me?
No, I'm not, because I've been fighting the urge to go into Final Fantasy Realm Reborn. And I'm like,
we're on the Garcimer?
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
we have a free company for you.
La, 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 la.
But yeah, that was like,
come be a cat girl.
Because I totally would.
But there was the line to get into the line. Mm-hmm. And the enforcer, like, we had to break line of sight with the enforcer so she wouldn't move us away while we were waiting for the line to work.
It's like uninterrupted eye contact.
But in terms of, like, placement, I want to kind of bring this out, because this is one of the more unique things at PAX. And PAX actually kind of screwed this group on placement of their room, the MAGFest Jam Space, where they have concerts going on all throughout the day, not just the nighttime concerts, but that's where, like, Brental Floss and Mega Ring and Professor Shy Guy. And in the past, it's been kind of near the console free play room. This year, it's all the way, it's basically right below us. No foot traffic, all the way out of the way, and nobody was going.
Oh, jeez.
And it was like, and they were like, man, this is, and they actually had, like, they had, like, NES set up. They even have, like, a sign, we have games in here, no line, trying to get people to come in. And all PAX did is they put one of their PAX XP little guidebook
things. Oh, so people would show up for their, right.
To scan it and then leave. But, and you know, I don't know if that's because, you know, they were upset that MAGFest and PAX South were the same weekend.
Right.
Or something, but like...
Starting drama.
So, but they were...
Kind of,
we're in Boston. If there's no drama, then this world, our city would just suck
that's
up in a black hole.
I felt bad because...
Y'all are famous for throwing things in the river.
That's absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's us.
I mean, on the scape of music, because, I mean, we... This subculture is wonderful about creating art, whether it's, you know, an actual painting or a drawing or an animation, like, on your computer or music or, you know, there's always creation happening. And, I mean, I actually feel like a lot of the performers that we have in the jam space aren't getting a lot of love, not only in that, but I think some of them should be hitting main stage now because they have the traction to do it.
Especially, like, the World of Square.
I mean, I would even say Mega Ran.
Definitely.
Like, and I mean, and he's gone up there a couple times, like, featuring on it, but they should be getting their own spots main stage. Some of them have paid the serious dues, and obviously have the following and the numbers to support getting main stage time, and I don't know why we aren't supporting the indies of our music the way that we're supporting the indies on our floors. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Especially at this particular convention,
there's
a lot
of nodding going on at this table right now.
Especially, well, I'm just saying, because there's no way you can't walk down a hall and hear someone singing a Mega Ran song or a Brenta Floss song, or even just humming a song from a game. Like, this would be the convention to showcase all that talent and actually give it its time in the sunlight. And we don't give it.
It is awfully odd that I would have to play Where's Waldo to find the jam space with these musicians. But if I want to see people playing Rock Band, which, no disrespect to Rock Band, because that's an amazing game, but if I want to see people, you know, wailing on Journey, I can walk right by that on my way to the Expo Hall on stages. So it is a little weird. And I realize that might be a traffic nightmare if you put, you know, Mega Ran or somebody up there to have all those people around the stage to clog it. But it is a little weird that they wouldn't use a space like that.
Yeah,
no, that would be a great idea.
That would be wonderful.
Like, why? I mean, you know, Rock Band, I mean, again, no disrespect, but that's not Rock Band 4 up there. That's a years old game that's up there that people are playing. Why can't they use that stage? Except maybe the traffic is an issue. I could see where that would be.
And loudness, maybe. It's pretty loud in that room.
True.
Yeah, probably. To me, but it does bring a tear to my eye. I mean, granted, I mean, like, Brenta Floss and Mega Ran, I think they're performing tomorrow at the Middle East, I think. So, I mean, they do get gigs while they're out here, but... Why not
that's
give
them, after show.
It's after
chunk
the
chunk of people are traveling out.
Right,
tonight.
And they won't get that experience.
Yeah.
But that's...
No, it's
that
a good
breaks
point.
My nerdcore heart, because I love nerdcore and 8-bit.
You know, like, where's Chiptune at? I have not heard...
I haven't heard a single bit of Chiptune this whole weekend.
One of my friends, DJ Radio Scott Void, had this whole 8-bit Boston Chiptune thing, and from what I heard... Not a lot of people showed up to it because they didn't push it the way that they pushed them other artists.
Right.
I think that was down in the jam space.
Yes.
Like, if you didn't go all the way, and it was past the theater that's down there, and like, I mean,
is it past the area that used to be the Kochek, which now is like the best place to get food? Because they put food down there. They should have just led food all the way to the jam space.
But I remember 2 years ago, the jam space was like by the classic console.
Yep, it was right next door.
Yeah, and so you could even hear it, and so, you know, you would
that
even
is
see
that
it.
Is a damn shame.
Bobby, this might pain you, but maybe that Steel Battalion room can be switched with the jam space. You know?
I would actually, even though I love the Steel Battalion.
Yeah, I know.
If I had to choose, the jam space.
Yeah.
But the Steel Battalion room was in the same room 2 years ago.
Mm.
The jam space was in there somewhere. I think
maybe that's the punishment room. Maybe that's like you've been bad.
Naughty step.
You've been bad jam space. Bad. Maybe it's also their way of like maybe they don't fully believe in that medium and that's why they put it down.
No, I think it's.
I would hope
I
not.
I think it's
though.
Just or poor planning on space.
Yeah. Someone's just like, we need to put. Let's just put them right here.
There's probably an afterthought. Ta-da. In all honesty, yeah. They're probably laying things out. Like, ooh, we forgot the jam space. What do we have left?
But I mean, if you're gonna do something like that though, and you know, commit to that, then why not compensate by overly promoting, making sure that there are flyers that people who aren't aware of where it that a location has moved to like but follow
I
through, man.
I haven't checked my Twitter in a while, but I don't recall at all seeing any tweets about the jam space from the official PAX.
I mean, like,
well, I mean, from the official PAX, though.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, like, the performers obviously did, because I mean, I knew Megaram was going to be there on the 6th. Like, they're doing everything that they can, but I don't know why the convention isn't stepping up. Like, they obviously are hosting a space for them to deliver whatever it is. Why not plaster it everywhere?
Agreed.
Especially if they're going to change it to a remote location that barely anyone ever walks into.
Agreed.
Like, it's kind of like their way of saying, bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
You're here. Figure it out. Yep. You got your space. And that sounds mean. Don't be mean, PAX.
And while we're talking about mean people and mean things at PAX, I want to give a special shout-out to Nintendo. Because we're here with our 3DSs, street passing, and I'm almost done with all my puzzle pieces. And then yesterday morning, Nintendo's like, here's a brand new puzzle for you. Have fun. And I'm like, I was so close to being done.
One pink piece. I need one pink piece
the struggle is
to
real.
Be done.
And nobody
it's
has
not
pink
cool.
piece. We have not seen that one pink piece yet.
Did you guys get all your PAX XP pieces?
I did not do any of the
no.
XP.
James, there you go.
I'm here to game and write.
I do appreciate, though, that they're trying to find ways to make even just walking around something immersive for people.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that in front of the media room, they're like, there's no XP here. And I'm just like, oh, there's all the XP here, just not the kind that you can boop on your phone.
Right. Again, humble brag.
What?
I can't walk in.
I'm sorry.
You should try, though. It'd be fun to watch.
Someday, I'm sure they'd be like, whatever.
All right, so final thing before we wrap up. I just want to say that even for the things that I think that they can improve on, I still have had a fantastic time at show this year.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the weather, even with the lack of tremendous amounts of cosplay, which I enjoy watching, I've had a great time playing games, and more importantly, talking to a whole bunch of really passionate creative developers. And I really appreciate that this PAX feels much more indie than AAA. Because for a while there, PAX was really starting to feel like mini E3, not in a positive way. And this year, it definitely...
Wait, there's nothing positive about E3?
No, there are positive things about E3.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's sun... you guys have sun over there, so
it's,
I mean, like, it's warmer over there.
Excuse for me to go to California for a week.
Yep.
Bye!
So...
I'll stay
there's
here.
There's positive things about E3, but... You know, what I really liked about the first PAX was that it was a whole lot of indie people bringing new ideas and new games to basically people who would never have exposure to them otherwise, because it was pre-Kickstarter, right? You know, now we have Kickstarter, and even with that, there are still a bunch of games that I got exposed to over this weekend that I hadn't even heard of that are getting ready to do Kickstarters, you know, that I will definitely get behind and back because I like their projects. So, you know, for just the exposure to that newness alone, I've had a phenomenal time. So I'm looking forward to what they do next year. I hope they keep this balance of indie and AAA and the open conversation. I mean, this is probably the first year that more of the Microsoft people were frankly open and talking about the game as opposed to, here's the demo and here's a speech and play it for 5 minutes. Okay, get off my station. You know, there was less of that this year.
There's some assets.
And I really like that. So for me, it's been a really fun show. You guys?
Humble
brag. That's what this is. Humble brag.
We disagree with what you said.
No.
Okay, well, fine.
No, I completely agree with your sentiment. And I also, like, on the air of balance, I love the fact that we're mixing more well-known games with indie because, I mean, I like the idea of not segregating our games. Like, they're all for the exact same purpose, for enjoyment. So why are we labeling, oh, well, this one is AAA and it gets its own thing, and then like the indie kid is this little bitty thing, and we shouldn't be segregating our games, just like we shouldn't segregate people.
I mean, boom! Segregation is bad.
Boom! It's right. Not separate, it's separate but equal. No, no, it is not.
Right. The indie kid thing started really tiny when this whole thing started. Now look how massive it is.
And I mean, I like to see that, you know, one with the indies, we're getting a whole batch of fresh blood in the industry, which maybe through a lot more hard work and some time, we'll see those indie developers become more mainstream, and maybe not even necessarily AAA, but might be front runners to open up the way for other people who have a dream to get into this industry, because it is cutthroat, it is evil sometimes, it is mean, they don't share their cookies all the time, and when they do, they don't want you to tell people that they're sharing cookies with you.
No Thin Mints for you.
Yeah.
Like some that, like they want you to be so in awe of what they do with, and even though you want to be involved in that and share something, they're not always willing to open that cookie jar and share. And I feel like this particular convention is the greatest way to open that up and give people that chance to do that.
It's going
to
be very interesting next year to see if it, because like you said, you were talking about, okay, this year it's GDC was this week. A lot of the bigger publishers chose GDC over PAX. They probably would love to do both, and since there's 4 weeks between GDC and PAX East next year,
we might see a difference.
It may go back to the way it was last year. It may just have been a scheduling thing. So maybe having it during GDC was probably a good thing for a lot of the indies. But even a lot of indies had trouble doing both.
Because
they want to be at GDC and they want to be here.
Right.
If you think about it, too, I think it's a weird time in gaming right now, anyways, this time of year. I think if you look at the big publishers that aren't here, they don't really have any titles coming out anytime soon.
And if they have something, they're holding it for the big announcement in June.
E3, yeah. So, like, no, 2K doesn't really have anything right now. Bethesda doesn't really have anything. Ubisoft,
I think, I just, they announced this morning DLC for Borderlands pre-sequel, just to be fair.
Well, they did mention that a while ago, too. That was coming.
Yeah, okay.
I think next year, I think it'll be more back to display. But I also hope they keep the indie aspect of it as well.
I would love to see them mix it all up. And, I mean, I'd even love to see maybe some big board game developers coming and, like, dropping down into the board and mixing all that up. Because, I mean, board games, even on the indie side here, are pretty big. Like, B-Fig had an amazing display of tabletop games this year. Like the indie video games actually took a critical hit to the face at B-Fig this year. They came out swinging, and I love that. And I mean, it's just, there's all this newness just waiting to be exposed to everybody. So why not just take the jump and do it? Damn, just do it.
Alright,
well, sorry, so much energy. I'm so passionate. I'm not going to do that one.
The Doves are now coming, so that means that we're at the end of the show because somebody's had too much caffeine. I want to thank everybody for joining us for our roundtables again. King Baby Duck, John, Rob, Bobby, Panda, me. We love all you guys. I'm not doing any bumps because DCD was here, but then he left. And I'm not doing any bumps for anything right now because I'm still hungover. So, PAX East 2015, definitely a great exposure for everyone. We'll have articles all across our website in the coming weeks. We'll be talking about things that we've seen at the show for a long time to come. I'll be talking about Star Trek timelines next week because that happened. But as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I am Pandalicious.
And until next week, guys.
Peace, bitches.